Well, in a world grown cold without wonder, how do we reimagine the drama and joy of our Christianity? Well, for C.S. Lewis, the answer was to invite us to a magical world named Narnia. Well, in a new world, that would help us see our own with fresh, healed eyes. And even now, it's not too late to go there. In a new book edited by University of Notre Dame professor Leonard DiLorenzo, The Chronicles of Transformation, A Spiritual Journey with C.S. Lewis, is a collaborative work between scholars and artists, open adult readers' eyes and hearts to the transformative power of these wonderful books. Professor DiLorenzo is joining me today to talk a little bit more about, well, the land of Narnia. Good morning, Leonard. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for welcoming me in.
Well, there is so much to these original book series than what was made for the big screen. Can you give us an overview of the original book series and the intention C.S. Lewis had for writing Narnia?
Absolutely. As many people would know, there are seven chronicles in this series, the Chronicles of Narnia. And he really, as far as we know from what he's written and from what he shared, he wrote, beginning with the first one, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, for his goddaughter, Lucy. He said in a note to her when he wrote the first book, you know, I started writing this story for you when you were young, but it turns out that girls grow quicker than books do. And so he published the book before she was, before she had reached into sort of her teenage years. And he thought, well, maybe now you're a little bit too old for this, what seems like a childlike story, but there will be a time again when you'll appreciate it. And I give it to you for that time. So these stories came intended for a child, but even from the very beginning, C.S. Lewis had in his mind, there will perhaps be a time when, as an adult, you can return to this. And the seven chronicles followed from that. He doesn't seem to have had the intention to write seven right from the beginning, though especially one of our contributors, Michael Ward, has detected that it seems like the seven planets of medieval cosmology are a sort of pattern for these seven chronicles, so there is some intentionality there. But nevertheless, there was an order of discovery, of discovering this new world, of being re-energized for seeing our own world with new wonder, and it began with writing for a child.
Leonard, if a person were to sit down and begin reading this series, as you said, it took him a while, and while he intended it for his goddaughter, well, she became a little bit older. Can you see the progression of his writing in these books, meaning that as you got through the series, did it try to draw in a more older, maybe preteen or even a young adult reader?
You know, it is interesting to track the way in which the chronicles themselves develop. And one of our contributors to our volume, Peter Schockel, who is a Lewis scholar in his own right, he wrote about what is the third published chronicle, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And one of the things he brings to our attention as readers is that C.S. Lewis is doing some new things in this third chronicle. For one, he's more intentionally bringing in humor and really humor for adults. He's involved, secondly, in satire of the modern world. And the third really sort of noticeable change is he's diving much more deeply into myth. And it seems that he's more and more concerned with really developing myth in its fullest form in a way that somebody like J.R.R. Tolkien would have deeply appreciated. And so you see, I think, as Lewis moves through these chronicles as an author, it's not that they necessarily get more sophisticated or they get better or worse. It's that they change with him and they change for the reader in what you're encountering and what you're engaging. Part of what we wanted to do with our volume, one of the things at least, was point some of these things out to people, help us to see them better so that not just so we can think about the chronicles, but so that we can enjoy these stories even more deeply as adults.
The name of the book is The Chronicles of Transformation, A Spiritual Journey with C.S. Lewis. It is out by Ignatius Press, and it was edited by Leonard DiLorenzo, who is joining us today. Well, let's break this open a little bit. Tell us a little bit about how you put all of these, I guess maybe essays from different scholars and artists to bring this work together.
It really began with a liturgical exercise that we were involved in, believe it or not. Several years ago, we had gotten in the habit of gathering year after year to communities of readers together during the liturgical seasons of Lent and moving into Easter. And for one of these years, we thought that we would offer as a sort of communal reading with some enriching talks and presentations, the Chronicles of Narnia. And the chapters that are now in this book, one chapter for each of the Chronicles, those essays were first talks delivered to a live audience and then broadcast over digital means to people all over the country and all over the world. And so really what you find in the book is something that was already coming from a communal setting of people reading these stories together, reflecting on them deeply, especially in terms of their Christian themes or their Christian meaning, and then praying through these liturgical seasons together. From that, these talks that were crafted, each of us who gave these talks, we then thought about a different audience. What would it be like to engage with a community of readers through writing? And the chapters that are there then are from scholars who are actually involved in trying to communicate more deeply with a public audience about these seemingly simple stories, at first at least, you would think childlike stories, but that also bring forth such depth and such beauty and such meaning. And then we added to that, just to kind of complete the story a little bit, the contributions of a couple of artists. One, a visual artist by the name of Stephen Barany, who drew original illustrations, one for each of the seven Chronicles. These are just beautiful and complex and intriguing, and they appear at the beginning of each chapter, so one illustration for each of the Chronicles. And then a poet, Madeline Infantine, she wrote an original poem cycle for the Chronicles. Again, one poem for each of the seven Chronicles. And those poems appear at the beginning of each chapter as well. So what you have when you hold the book in your hand is the combined efforts of scholars from across the U.S. and a couple of places overseas, theologians, literary scholars, and the artistic work of a visual artist and a poet who have all sought to reflect more deeply on these masterpieces by C.S. Lewis.
It is a beautiful series of, well, we'll say writings, individual chapters brought together in his new book. Leonard, I've loved our conversation so much, but there is more I want to get to about this book and a little bit more about C.S. Lewis, but I am coming up against my break. Will you stay with me through the break so we can continue our conversation in the next half hour?
Absolutely. Be happy to do it.
I am back with Professor Leonard DiLorenzo. Leonard is a professor at the University of Notre Dame and is the editor of a great new book based on the writings of C.S. Lewis. It's called The Chronicles of Transformation. Professor DiLorenzo, thank you so much for staying with us today. Thank you for putting together this fantastic book.
Oh, it's my pleasure on both accounts.
Leonard, I'd love to ask you this question. In looking at all of these essays that you've brought together, and maybe C.S. Lewis intended that this book kind of people come back to it over years, over their life, meaning that when they read it as a younger person or and then their teen years and young adult years, that more was to be drawn out of it. In your process in putting all of these works together, was there something about the a theme that maybe you didn't initially feel or understand when reading the books, but then when you come back to it with different eyes based on the world that we're living in, that you went, oh, he's getting at this? Did you find that there were themes like that throughout?
There were so many of them, and I can probably just maybe cherry pick. I'll pick one of them, and it comes directly from one of our contributors. So let's say Rebecca Lamb, who wrote the essay or the chapter on the silver chair, she brings to the fore something that once you're told it and somebody helps you to see it, you can't unsee it, and it's almost like, oh my goodness, how did I not know this before? But I think as adults, we have to be shown this. She shows us that the silver chair is very, very much about theories of education. And C.S. Lewis there is not just writing a story to get a message across. He's actually immersing you in a world where there are different kinds or different modes of education going on at the same time. And what it seems that you're being led through, if you allow yourself to be led through, is what it means or what it is like to develop a memory that becomes the seat of wisdom, of seeing, of interpretation, of what it means to actually allow yourself to be immersed in a story, to appreciate literature or meaning without always having to analyze it and be tested on it, though there are important things to be tested on. And even in that story, the memory is being tested. It's not simply for the end of producing something that we're educated. And I think what C.S. Lewis does for us with the Chronicles of Narnia here for children is it immerses you in a kind of world where things matter, whether you remember them or not, whether you have courage or not, whether you're able to ward off evil enchantments or not. And for adults, it brings us to see how important it is in the ways in which we've learned to see the world or not see the world, of how we raise our children, of what we value. C.S. Lewis, for example, gives us a sort of philosophical treatise on this in his book, The Abolition of Man. But what's happening in The Silver Chair is you're being immersed in a world where the things that he talks about in The Abolition of Man are actually surrounding you here in The Silver Chair, and you feel the drama, the narrative. So I just highlight that as one really important thing, I think, that was brought up. There's so many of them that I learned about and I was edified by in even reading and learning from my fellow contributors.
Leonard, is there a way that is good to use this book, The Chronicles of Transformation, and at the same time read these individual books in the series? Maybe perhaps read one of the chapters based on the book, say, you know, The Chronicles or The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and then actually read C.S. Lewis' book and maybe help you kind of look at the book a little differently while you're reading it.
I think that's a really fantastic way to use this book that we've published. In fact, some of the first reviewers of the book, the people they sent the book out to and asked them to give them some feedback, that's what they said about the book. They said, you know, when I was reading this, it actually took me a while because I read the first chapter and then I wanted to go back and dive back into C.S. Lewis's story again, anew, afresh, to kind of engage with it. And so what they found is very much what we found, which is that this becomes a kind of pilgrimage for us through these chronicles where we're thinking and preparing and reflecting and seeing things anew. And then we go and allow ourselves to be immersed in the narrative again. And that's why I think a book like this is sort of necessary for adults, whereas it wouldn't be quite as necessary for children. Children allow themselves to be taken into a story much more openly and with much less resistance. We as adults, we have all kinds of resistances. And I think one of the things we hope to give with our volume, The Chronicles of Transformation, is a way for us as adults to let down our guard and to give ourselves over to the enjoyment of a narrative again.
I love rereading books, ones that stick with me, that make me think, and then I can go back and really kind of look at it again with my new thoughts and reread it and see what else I get out of it. Obviously, Leonard, you've read all of these series. Would it be too much to ask is there a favorite one, one that speaks to you in looking at the original series from C.S. Lewis?
You know, I think my first love was The Voyage of the Dawn Treader as I made my way through the Chronicles the first time. And I only read them as a young adult for the first time. I didn't encounter them as children. But I love The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and I think I still love it. But in this volume, I ended up writing the chapter on The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And there was something that caught me in that story anew. And the way I wrote my own chapter was actually in reflection on reading that story to my then 5 and 7-year-old sons. And really, especially encountering my 5-year-old's response to the story, it showed me something about what was taking place. And so I rediscovered a love for The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe through that.
Oh, I love that. I love being able to let my kids watch me read. I mean, they see me read at home. For one of my daughters, she loves to read now too. I mean, she just really devours book. There is something really satisfying as a parent to read these books to your children and then have them go, well, the movie wasn't like that at all. It's a great way to really show your kids that, oh, read the books, because they're always so much better, aren't they?
This is true. And this isn't a principled stance on my part. I just didn't really like the movies, the Disney movies and the Chronicles of Narnia. I watched The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and though it's very faithful to the book, it just didn't capture me. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you know, I love the Lord of the Rings. I love the movies in a different way than I love the books. And so I'm not in a principled way against the movies, but I think with these Chronicles, the books are just far better than the movies.
Oh, absolutely. Well, maybe parents, if you're looking for one last way to embrace summer reading, pick up a copy of The Chronicles of Transformation and have the whole C.S. Lewis series handy so that way you can read them all together as a family. The book is available through Ignatius Press. Professor DeLorenzo, you have a website too that has some of your other books. Tell our listeners about it.
Sure. Yeah. So my own website is LeonardJDLorenzo.com. LeonardJDLorenzo.com. And I've got some of my other writings and podcasts that we host and some other things that are available there.
Oh, well, I encourage all of our listeners to definitely check it out. And Leonard, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for this great book. It's just a wonderful way to dive into, well, a family favorite. Thanks for your time today.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your interest.
So the name of the book, again, The Chronicles of Transformation, A Spiritual Journey with C.S. Lewis. It is out by Ignatius Press. It is edited by Professor Leonard DeLorenzo. I will be sure to add a link to where you can get right to Ignatius Press to find a copy for yourself, and also to Leonard's webpage that he just mentioned. You're going to find those links on the podcast of this interview, materdeiradio.com, and the Hail Mary Media app.